Blessed are you when people hate you, and they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. The Gospel according to St. Luke, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
I have to admit, the Beatitudes are always a bit difficult for me, especially the Lucan version from the Sermon on the Plain, as opposed to the Beatitudes listed in the Sermon on the Mount from St. Matthew's Gospel. The characteristics that Luke presents are so much more tangible, they're real. And as I go down the list, all of those whom Jesus called blessed, I realize I don't really fit. Hungry, poor, hated and reviled, weeping, those don't describe me at all. I have everything I need. I'm fairly well liked as far as I know. Nothing to be terribly sorrowful. In fact, I have far more in common with those whom Jesus is warning. The woes apply to me far more than the Beatitudes. I'm not rich by U.S. standards, but there is no question that I am still among the wealthiest people in the world. I eat good food, obviously, and laugh regularly with my friends and loved ones, and maybe not all, but I would say most people who know me speak well of me. And here's the thing. I don't really want to fall into the categories of the blessed. I don't want the Beatitudes to apply to me. But I also don't think God particularly wants me to be in those situations. But when we look at it, there is a distinct advantage for those individuals when it comes to attaining to the kingdom of God. Strange way to look at things, but there it is. And so what is this basis for the advantage? Why do those who are poor, hungry, weeping, and hated have a special status? Well, let's take a quick look at each of them and the advantages that come with them. The first two are very similar. Blessed are you who are poor, and blessed are you who are hungry now. The poor and the hungry, they know what it's like to be reliant upon the generosity of others. The wealthy and well-filled can easily care for their own needs and continue under the illusion that they are not, in fact, dependent on God every moment of every day, and that it is only by His grace that they continue to exist. Blessed are you who weep now. I believe the advantage here is that suffering and sorrow brings one closer to the heart of Christ. In Psalm 34, we are told that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And knowing that Jesus bore the burden of the sin of the entire world, we can be sure that He understands the depths of all our sorrow. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. If Christ is closer to those who weep because He understands their sorrow, those who are hated are closer to Christ because they know something of what He experienced in His passion. Each of these blessed attributes in their own unique way bring a person closer to the earthly experience of Jesus and the things that He endured by taking on our humanity to be lifted upon the cross for our redemption. Jesus knows firsthand the pain of poverty, hunger, sorrow, and hate. And those who experience these things in this life can more fully appreciate the self-emptying of the second person of the Trinity for our sake. But as advantageous as these blessed attributes may be, like I already said, I have no desire to actually take on any. So what should our response be in light of this teaching? How do we honor the blessedness of those whom Jesus mentioned? And just as importantly, how do we heed the woes pronounced on the rich and the full, the merciful, and the well-esteemed? Well, we are, after all, celebrating the Feast of All Saints. And so what better time to look at their example. We have these mighty giants, these heroes of the faith who have gone before us to show how their love of God translated into love for their neighbor. Take, for example, Catherine Drexel, a wealthy heiress who became a nun and devoted the fortune she inherited from her father to build schools for African-American and Native American children in the late 1800s. And everyone knows Mother Teresa, now St. Teresa of Calcutta, who devoted her life to working with the sick in the slums of India. But what about St. Augustine of Hippo, the great theologian from the 4th century, whose brilliance still influences Christian teaching today? And also, with love, St. Monica, who with great virtue and through many tears prayed ceaselessly for his conversion. The point is that we are all called to take what we have been given and use it to glorify God and do that which is pleasing in his sight. Some did that with their intellect, others in perseverance, some with wealth or charisma or piety. And knowing that God has a heart for the weak and vulnerable, we should do everything we can with what we have to walk alongside them, comforting them and providing for their needs to the best of our ability. Scripture is painfully clear that this kind of charity is not simply something nice that God would like us to do, but in fact marks of our citizenship in his very community. The woes that Jesus pronounces are on those who hold their status over and against these others, the rich and well-fed who ignore their hungry neighbor, those who laugh scornfully and derisively at those who suffer, those who are spoken well of because they have sought the approval of this world. We should desire to find ourselves among the blessed, caring for those whom Christ cares for. To do this is to take our place with the saints and to plead the very heart of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.